Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Psalm 127, verse 3. Man, isn't that a great word from the Lord? Especially in our day and age when the world mocks this idea of large families. Well, today we continue our series on how to raise boys and turn them into godly men. What does that look like? Well, Dr. Mike Fabares is my guest, and we're discussing his latest book. It's titled Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss several things. Number one, the reality that all of our sexual desires will not be met. Number two, how the guilt from our past prevents us from talking about the future. Today's show is titled The Power of Sexual Desire. You mentioned the power of sexual desire a few minutes ago. What is the power that you're referring to there?
Well, there's not a guy listening to this program that doesn't know. Okay? I mean, right? Everyone knows. This is a dominant power. And women just need to understand with some sympathy the kind of power this is, this desire that comes with this hormone flood in our bodies as adolescents. I mean, and it seems to hardly ever, you know, tail off in life. I mean, it's like, you know, women often struggle with eating and appetites in their diets and so forth. I mean, if they could just kind of see with sympathy that men are wired in such a way as it's much like a craving that they might have for an eclair or a piece of cheesecake. There is that sense of as kind of a primal and foundational human desire that we have that's fueled by the testosterone in our bodies. And God, of course, created it that way for a lot of reasons, of course, to drive us to procreation and in our families and for just the joy of sex in marriage that binds us together like contact cement. But, you know, it's something that has to be controlled. Something so powerful as a sex drive, it has to be controlled. And that's what, you know, and Christians know that and they understand that. We feel such guilt with sexual sin. We understand that it needs to be controlled, but we need to realize, and women in particular need to realize, because I don't need to teach men who are listening to this program, but they need to realize what a power this is. Now, of course, I'm not saying women don't have a sex drive. Of course they do. And that comes in varying degrees, as you know, and as I know through the years of counseling, but men primarily, they know that this is a constant power. And in our society that's so sex saturated, it doesn't help just driving down the freeway with billboards for strip clubs or, you know, whatever they're selling with, a women's cleavage. We're in a world where this is a constant, it's fueling this desire and appetite constantly. So men need to know, that this is there, and women need to understand that it's there. And we need to start building the right kinds of parameters and proper outlets, as 1 Corinthians 7 says, so that we find that the fire belongs in the fireplace. It doesn't belong, in the corner of the dining room or in the hallway. We've got to find the right place for sex in the house, if you will, of our lives. And it doesn't, it's not with our secretary at work, and it's not with prostitutes, and it's not with pornography. It's to find its proper home in life. And frankly, a lot of it is not going to be met. And I think this is where a lot of Christians miss the boat. They don't recognize, and the world needs to recognize as well, that there's a lot of sexual desires that just are not going to be met. And you're not going to die for the lack of sex, right? we feel like it sometimes. Yeah, we think so. We feel like it, but we're not. And so, all of this starts, when you talk about it, with respecting the power of a sexual desire, and it's strong, and obviously some people have it stronger than others, but when you're raising a little boy and he's becoming an adolescent, young man, and he's sweaty and stinky and he's coming home and all you're thinking about is him taking a shower, you need to understand what's you know, building up in this young adolescent's life. And that's the desire for sexual passion. And it's going to be there in everything from the magazines at the checkout at the supermarket to, an ad for a vehicle in a Sports Illustrated magazine or the swimsuit issue. You know, this is going to drive a passion in your son's life that you need to start understanding and preparing for.
When it comes to this power, Mike, this desire, you know, it's you mentioned the word guilt a few minutes ago with the sexual drive. Is the guilt from our own experience with sex? Is that why we as parents, we just don't want to have this conversation? We don't want to look into the rearview mirror of our own life and go, oh man, I really messed that up, and I have no idea how to engage in this conversation. Is that why most of the church refuses to address the issue, you think?
Well, Dustin, I think you know the answer, and that's, you've articulated it well. I think because of the failures, you know, the 35-year-old people out there raising these kids, and they look back at their time in the backseat of a car and all their sexual exploits in high school or college, you know, they look at their kids and they think, oh man, the only way to keep them from my failures is to, you know, lock them up and you know, just scare them on this topic. And that's just not true. Yeah. And I can tell you, you know, in my life and many other people's lives, we didn't have sex until our honeymoon. And, you can survive in this world without sex. It takes the proper kind of parenting. It takes a fear of God, a respect for God's plan. But, you know, don't say it's impossible just because you failed. And because of your guilt, don't allow that guilt to lead you into this, as we started the program, that vilification of sex, or, you know, just throwing up your hands like the world does and saying, well, oh, they're all going to do it. Everyone does it. Well, not everyone does it. And I take offense to that because I know a lot of good people that didn't do it. And myself included, we didn't have sex. You don't have to have sex. And my teenage boys can make it through this landmine filled society and enjoy sex for the first time on their honeymoon. It can happen, and it does happen, and it happens every month, every day around the world. And so let's stop with all of the guilt leading us to think, well, if I couldn't do it, no one can do it. Or, you know, because I carry such bad memories, and you know, my wife was the sixth person I slept with, or the 18th person I slept with. Well, that's just the way it's going to be for my kid unless I lock them in their room and throw every piece of electronics out of their life.
Yeah, it's interesting because we don't hear about it, you know, we think that no one is doing this because we're so saturated with the world and the culture from, you know, the TV shows that we watch to the magazines and movies and all of that. Yeah, that's
well, think about it, Dustin. If you do say it, what happens in our culture, right? If someone stands up and says, yeah, they laugh at you. You're a weirdo. They make movies, you know, about the 40-year-old virgin because this is a crazy thing. You must be some weirdo. As opposed to, listen, I didn't start a fire, you know, on the kitchen table. I put sex in its proper context, and I waited, as hard as that is, particularly for young men, I waited until the proper time. It can be done. And the reason you don't hear more about it is because it seems like an awkward thing, even in the church. Even in the church, a guy doesn't want to stand up and say, well, yeah, you know, I waited to have sex until I got married, because people will think, oh, that's, you know, that's not what I did. And, you know, that guy must be weird or odd. Listen, yeah, it happens more often than we hear about, but it doesn't get stated because people feel like they're going to be branded a weirdo.
Are you afraid of being branded a weirdo for saving yourself for marriage? Well, it's my guess that most men that I talk to regarding their sexual mistakes, if they had to do it all over again, they would joyfully be branded a weirdo, and they would wait until the wedding night. By the way, why do you think we're so afraid of what other people think about us? Especially those who have no right to even speak into our lives. And by the way, have you ever noticed that those who claim sexual freedom and sexual liberty are those people whose lives are just a complete mess? The Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, writes, "Not to awaken love until the time is right." See, we're not supposed to stir sexuality up or get too close to it. And the reason why is because it's a beautiful fire that needs to burn inside the fireplace, not inside the closet. What happens if a fire rages in the closet? Well, of course, the whole house burns down, doesn't it? See, that's why God has designed sex and marriage to be two sides of the same coin. Marriage, as defined by God in Genesis 2:24, is one biological man and one biological woman. And a commitment called marriage, that's where sexual desire burns, and it burns healthy, and it thrives. In fact, Proverbs 5, verse 19, reads, "Let your wife's breast satisfy you always." Now, some of you guys may be thinking, no way! Does it really say that in the Bible? It does. It does. Now, some of you may have a New Life verse. I don't know. But regardless, I would encourage you to study and read and meditate over Proverbs chapter 5 yourself. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mike Fabares. His brand new book, Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. And we're going to talk about how do you begin this dreaded sex talk as a parent with your son. Well, Christmas is right around the corner. And if God nudges you to make a year-end donation, I would pray that you please consider a tax-deductible gift here to God, Sex, and You. We're reaching 80 countries around the world, and we're just praying that in 2018, we can reach the other 80-plus countries, and we could really use your help to do so. You can become a Purity Partner with us. That's only a dollar a day, and you can do that by visiting dustindaniels.org/give. And if you're looking for some reading materials this Christmas season, let me point you to our online store. Once again, go to the website, dustindaniels.org, and just click on store. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And if you've got any questions, hit that website at dustindaniels.org. Jesus says that if we are pure in heart, we're going to see God. Can you just fathom that? We're going to see Him. Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.